Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello. This is Thursday, March 10th, day 4 of 9/11 on trial, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. In a short while, we will have witness number 2 talking about the evidence tampering in the World Trade Center Tower. 9/11 on trial. But before that, we're going to show you a couple things, some great progress we're making. Today, in our local newspaper, the Center Daily Times, on the op-ed page, they gave us 650 words to do an article. It's called Author Searches for Truth on World Center, World or Trade Center Collapse. Now, what this is a Knight Ridder subsidiary. It's one of the biggest newspaper chains in the country, and they gave us this right on the op-ed page, so we're making progress. We'd also like to thank Viz, who's from the Grassy Knoll radio show we did last night, and also
Daryl Smith of the French Connection. We just finished an interview moments ago with him at rbnlive.com.
Right, that was literally about 5 minutes ago. Also, we want to tell you about, or want to read, an email that we got after Lisa did her opening statement. It said, Lisa, I saw fear in your eyes when I watched you a moment ago. Fear of plunging ahead into a darkness where there is very little light and many pitfalls. Please know this. You and Victor are carrying that tiny light of truth for all of us, for all Americans still able to think and to reason. I wish to God that a new Jim Garrison would come forward to join this fight. Is there no longer such a law person? Will no one in authority step forward as an American and challenge this monster? Perhaps your effort at placing 9/11 into a trial is setting up a first step. Your courage in speaking out brings me to tears, Lisa. It leaves me in awe. So, folks, this woman gets it. Her name is Cindy, and just thank you very much for her.
Thank you,
and
Cindy.
All of you out there who are tuning in every day to 9/11 on trial. So what we're going to do now is join James Martin.
Right, and now we will join the proceedings with the Honorable Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Before I begin my direct examination of this witness, I'd like to preface with a few remarks. Witness number 2, please state your name for the record.
James Martin.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, whenever a crime is committed, the accused always say, prove it, show us the evidence. And since we're here with you today, it seems very clear that this is precisely what we'd like to do. In fact, we'd love to show you evidence from the World Trade Center towers, but we can't do that. Why? Because the government, with lightning speed, immediately sent haulers into Ground Zero to cart away all the evidence. The evidence being, of course, steel girders from which the towers were constructed. Now ask yourselves a question. What is the first thing that is supposed to happen to evidence at a crime scene? The answer is that it's supposed to be sealed off and not tampered with until it can be officially inspected. This is Common Sense 101, and you don't have to watch Columbo or Perry Mason to know that. Yet what did the government do at this crime scene? They disregarded every protocol and procedural rule and got rid of the evidence. Why? My questions begin with, would you consider the terror attacks of 9/11 a crime, sir?
I would.
And would the World Trade Center rubble be considered evidence at a crime scene?
It would.
With this rudimentary scenario in mind, what was given highest priority after 9/11? The inspection of rubble at the Ground Zero crime scene, or the removal of this evidence?
Disposal of the rubble was given top priority.
Does this decision seem peculiar to you?
Well, not just to me. Bill Manning, editor of the 125-year-old firefighting magazine, called Fire Engineer, said in the January 2002 issue, he said, except for the marginal benefit obtained from three-day visual walkthrough by the ASCE, that's the American Society of Civil Engineers, investigation committee members described as a close source as a tourist group, no one checking the evidence, the destruction, the removal of evidence must stop immediately.
Did others mentioned in this article have any objections to this practice?
In the same issue, a number of firefighting officials, including retired deputy from New York's fire department, they called on FEMA to immediately impanel a World Trade Disaster Review panel to coordinate a complete review of all aspects of the World Trade Center incident.
What were these individuals so upset about?
The fire officials noted that the World Trade Center disaster was the largest loss of firefighters ever in one incident, the second largest loss of life on American soil, and the first total collapse of a high-rise during the fires in United States history, and the largest structural collapse in recorded history. Now, with that understanding, you would think they would have the largest fire investigation in world history, but you'd be wrong. Instead, we have a series of unconnected, uncoordinated, and superficial inquiries. We are literally treating the steel removal from the site like garbage, not crucial evidence from a fire scene.
Okay. Before we delve into what was specifically hauled away from this crime scene, were limits placed on those investigators seeking access to the crippled towers?
Well, investigators were actually barred from Ground Zero. People were threatened with arrest for merely taking photographs. Plus, the people who were destroying the rubble were quickly passed through the checkpoint, while the investigators were often delayed for hours. Lastly, on January 25, 2002, Vice President Cheney called Senator Daschle on the phone and asked him to limit the scope and overall review of what happened on 9/11.
How much evidence was removed from this site?
According to the New York Daily News, 185,101 tons of structural steel had been hauled away from Ground Zero.
Was all of this evidence inspected?
According to the same source, about 80% of the steel was scrapped without being examined.
How would you describe this removal process?
The evidence was being destroyed rapidly as possible.
What we're talking about here is crucial evidence from a crime scene, is it not?
The evidence is the structural steel. That's what holds the buildings up, and that's what you would look at to try to understand what caused these steel buildings to collapse.
Who was in charge of removing this steel?
A company called Controlled Demolition Incorporated.
And when did this process begin?
The city accepted a plan by Controlled Demolition to recycle the steel just 11 days after the attacks.
Recycle it in 11 days?
Yes, Controlled Demolition Incorporated was able to come up with a detailed plan within 11 days after the collapse of the Twin Towers.
Were there any special precautions taken when this evidence was being removed?
A couple. First, a new infrastructure in the form of docks were created to expedite the removal. Plus, on November 26, 2001, the city initiated the use of an in-vehicle GPS tracking system to monitor the locations of the trucks hired to haul the debris to Fresh Kills, the official dump site on Staten Island.
Was this standard procedure for disposing of scrap?
No. In the weeks before launching the GPS system, the city relied on paper-based systems for tracking traffic and loading data.
Until they got the GPS system to guard this scrap, how was it transported to the dump?
Police and several other agencies teamed up to monitor the trucks on the route between Ground Zero and the 20 to 30 miles of tunnels, bridges, and highways to the dump on Staten Island.
Once all this steel reached the scrapyard, what happened next?
Much of the steel was from the World Trade Center was sold to Alan D. Ratner of Metal Management of Newark, New Jersey, and New York-based company Hugo New Schnitzer East.
And then what?
Ratner quickly sold the World Trade Center steel to overseas companies, reportedly selling more than 50,000 tons of steel to Shanghai Steel Company, Bayo Steel, $120 a ton. Also, the steel was recycled as per city's decision to swiftly send the wreckage to salvage yards in New Jersey, whisked onto ships bound for blast furnaces in China.
Okay. Yet this scrap required GPS tracking units and police escorts. Now, moving ahead, who was given the responsibility of investigating the World Trade Center wreckage?
That would have been FEMA.
Okay. Are they an investigative agency?
No. FEMA was entrusted with the responsibility of investigating the collapse, even though it's not an investigative agency.
Was an independent investigation ever sanctioned by the government?
No. Independent investigation was never funded.
Now, we must remember that World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7 were the largest structural failures in American history. How did FEMA proceed?
FEMA assembled a group of volunteer investigators, the Building Performance Assessment Team, and gave them a budget of $600,000.
What is the budget for Homeland Security projected to be in 2005?
The Department of Homeland Security reports that it will need $40.2 billion.
Okay, Mr. Martin, so this would be 1/1,000th of 1% of the current Homeland Security budget?
Correct.
Continuing on, were the BPAT investigators allowed access to Ground Zero?
No, they were only allowed to examine a few of the pieces of the steel after it had made it to the Fresh Kills landfill.
And how long did their investigation last, sir?
Their analysis was only from October 7th through the 12th.
During these 5 days of study, did FEMA investigate the possible use of explosives?
While steel is often tested for evidence of explosions, despite numerous eyewitness reports of explosions in the towers, the engineers involved in the FEMA-sponsored building assessment did no such tests.
Who was in charge of this FEMA project?
A man called Dr. W. Gene Corley, the same guy who investigated the cause of the Branch Davidian compound in Waco and the Oklahoma City bombings. Same guy headed the FEMA-sponsored engineering assessment of the World Trade Center collapse.
Did Corley say why no specific explosive tests were performed?
Yes, he did. Corley told the AFP, American Free Press, that while some tests had been done on the 80 pieces of steel saved from the site, we did not know about tests that show if explosions had affected the steel, so...
Did he give a reason?
The only reason he gave was that I am not a metallurgist, he said, so...
Has there been any criticism directed at this FEMA investigation?
Quite a bit.
Could you give us a sampling of this criticism?
Well, one piece would be... let's see here... The Scientific Committee of the House of Representatives, March 6, 2002, the report concluded that the investigation was hampered. One problem was that the cleanup crews arrived at the same day immediately began disposing of the rubble. The result was some of the critical pieces of steel were gone before the first investigator ever reached the site. When investigators finally arrived on the scene, they discovered they were subservient to the cleanup crews. The lack of authority of the investigators to impound pieces of steel for examination before they were recycled led to the loss of important pieces of evidence.
Anything else?
In Congressman Sherwood Butler's, Republican from New York, in March 7, 2002, his opening statement for the World Trade Center hearing, "I must say that the current investigation seems to be shrouded in excessive secrecy."
David Ray Griffin also weighed in on this matter, sir?
Yes, in his book, The New Pearl Harbor, after the collapse of the towers, the debris, including the steel, was quickly removed before there could be any significant investigation. The New York Times complained, saying, "The decision to rapidly recycle the steel columns, beams, and trusses from World Trade Center in the days immediately after 9/11 means definitive answers may never be known."
And the New York Daily News?
They quoted Firefighter magazine, and they said that, you know, they're criticizing the 9/11 probe. Joe Calderoni said, January 4, 2002, interviews with a handful of members of the team, which includes some of the nation's most respected engineers, uncovered complaints that they had at various times been shackled with bureaucratic restrictions that prevented them from interviews, witnesses examining the disaster site, requests crucial information like the recorded distress calls of the police and fire departments.
Also, there's testimony from a Dr. Frederick W. Maurer. Would you tell us that?
He's from the University of Maryland and in the fire engineering department. I find the speed with which important evidence has been removed and recycled has been appalling.
Were there any other criticisms of this investigation, Mr. Martin?
Oh, yes. And the most damning assessment came from Bill Manning, editor of Fire Engineering, 125-year-old Fire magazine, Firefighters magazine, in the January 2002 edition.
What did he say?
He began by noting that how different removal of the evidence was from the World Trade Center in comparison to other New York City fires. Did they throw away the locked doors from the Triangle Shirtwaist fire? Did they throw away the gas can that caused the Happy Land Social Club fire? That's what they're doing at the World Trade Center. The destruction and removal of evidence must stop immediately.
Anything else, sir?
Well, he continued, "For more than 3 months, structural steel from the World Trade Center has been and continues to be cut up and sold for scrap. Crucial evidence that could answer many questions about high-rise building design practices, performance under fire conditions, is on a slow boat to China, perhaps never to be seen again in America until you buy your next car. He continued, fire engineering has good reason to believe that the official investigation, blessed by FEMA and run by the American Society of Civil Engineers, is a half-baked farce that may already have been commandeered by political forces whose primary interests, to put it mildly, lie far afield of full disclosure.
Does this constitute the entirety of the criticism, Mr. Martin?
Oh, no, there's plenty more. I'll refer you to the statement by Peter Meyer in his article, The World Trade Center Demolition. The World Trade Center debris was removed as fast as possible, and no forensic examination of the debris was permitted. Also, all of the 300,000 tons of steel from the Twin Towers was sold to New York scrap dealers and exported to places like China and Korea as quickly as could be loaded on ships, thereby removing the evidence.
Of the 300,000 tons of steel, how many pieces were examined by FEMA volunteers?
Gene Corley told AFP, the American Free Press, some tests have been done on the 80 pieces of steel saved from the site.
Thank you, Mr. Martin, and thank you, Your Honor. No further questions.
Thank you.